that Pastor Randy gave, his wife being raised by a pretty outstanding couple. Oh, that's the Barneses. But you don't choose who you're raised with or whether you were raised with good, solid Christians or not. But the Lord knew you before he even put you in your mother's womb, and you're worthy and you're valuable, and that's part of your freedom that you experience. Wow, I didn't have a good Christian upbringing, but gosh, the same Holy Ghost that's in somebody that did lives in me, and I may not have some star signing my baseball, but I've got Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, signing the baseball that represents me. Amen? That puts us all on equal playing field, and that's why we can say y'all got the same Holy Ghost, and you're so loved by the Lord, he's no respecter of persons.
Yes, sir.
So, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. Look at me, church. Our freedom does not come from signs and wonders. Our freedom does not come by saying the right thing or doing the right. Our freedom comes from being connected by the power of the Holy Ghost with Jesus Christ. And the Holy Ghost will remind us to stay connected. Because you can be free and then lose your freedom, not because he takes it away from you, but you allow the God of this world to blind you to the understanding, and little by little, it's not an overnight thing. He doesn't come with pitchforks, but he does come to steal, kill, and destroy. His purpose is to rally us up. He can't take authority over the church. He has no authority over the church, but we can yield our kingdom freedom of peace and joy, even though the Lord says nobody can take it, but we can yield it. And we can be miserable, but if we continue to be his disciples, he will continue to keep us freedom in a pandemic, no matter what comes against my household. I may be in Arizona bringing my mother home, but the Lord Jesus doesn't stop taking care of us on the road and my husband that's called into the emergency room. God is on the throne, and he's got control, and he loves you all.
Amen.
That's a freedom to understand that. Oh, if I only could get where he'd love me like he loves you, Pastor. He loves me no more than he loves all of you.
Amen.
I am not on a pedestal different than you. We are co-laborers together. Amen? So knowing this, now, let me just coin this. What I loved about Martin Luther King, as we look at his release of his most powerful things, he says, free at last, thank God.
Yes.
I'm free at last. I'd like that mandate on the church. I'm free at last. Thank God I finally am operating in this freedom. Because even him in the same speech said, as he projected that out, that we still meditate on it today, he says there's coming a time when every man and woman will not be measured on the color of their skin, but by the content of what's in their heart. I'm telling you, church, what's in our heart is Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Ghost. Our freedom comes in knowing that and then becoming a stepping out in that avenue of God.
Amen.
I like what Elvira King, the niece of Martin Luther King, said, because she was lost even though her dad was a pastor and she was related to Dr. King. She says, when I had an out-of-body experience with a living God, it changed my life and he took me to Acts 17. I believe it was 26 that says he has made from one blood every nation. I hate to tell you folks, but we're all, whether you're black, white, yellow, brown, gray, we are all from the same blood. And the only one that tries to separate us from the blood is the forces of darkness. Oh, yes, he uses slave masters to try to give us a narrative that he is not all-powerful, but he is. And we are all from the same cut. So when we sing and we did communion, it's because we come from the same bloodline.
Yes,
it's the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Pastor Randy. Excellent. Worth.
Yes.
That we understand. Part of our freedom is understanding we're worth it. Because God loves us so much. He loved us even before we even realized it. It wasn't all of a sudden I loved him, he loves me back. He loved us. The worth, the value. Pastor Mike, as of 2 weeks ago, and talking about that forgiveness. When you forgive others, you have some freedom. When you can ask God not to lay it to their account, you're even getting more freedom. Do you understand how it works? When we exercise truth, it just makes us freer. And I believe today it'll sort out some things that you'll understand. You were created to be a miracle. Amen? So we look at this. And let me run this. This may just blow some of you away, but you need to hear me clearly. Signs and wonders do not save people. Signs and wonders don't even keep people. Now hear me, because I'm going to start you right back, and I'm going to use Moses as an example. When all the miracles, signs and wonders were happening to the nation of Egypt, and they saw all the things, and they saw the things that were happening, it did not save any Egyptians. And the children of Israel went out by day. They had this cloud to keep them from the sun, and they had a fire by night. They got to see the Red Sea opened, and they got all this. And as soon as they did not have a leader, they started to build an idol. Even that did not keep them. So get off this thing. If I only could see some signs and wonders, I would really believe. No, you believe in Jesus Christ, and he blesses you for trusting and relying on what he's given us as a scripture. Amen. Let me just lay the foundation so you understand some scriptures. I'm looking at Matthew chapter 7. We're into the transitional scriptures. We're into where he's transitioning us from old covenant to new. I want you to see what Jesus says. You need to see this in this light because there's a lot of confusion that gets released in the body of Christ. And I'm going to start with verse 15. I've got a caption. You will know them by their fruits. The Bible says this: beware of false prophets. Do we realize there are false Christians? False prophets who come to you looking like sheep, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. This isn't to the world. This was to those that supposedly were believers. Now, I know Jesus hadn't gone to the cross yet, but it was laid out. You will know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or from thistles or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit. A bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is going to be cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Look at me, church. I'm telling you, there's a religious sector out there that are continuously telling you one thing, but the fruit of their lives is not speaking of who they really are. They are not our friends. Stay with me. Matthew chapter 12. He's still trying to sort them out, that you got some enemies within. And I'm going to pick it up at verse 38. My caption, to make it very clear, says this: scribes and Pharisees are asking for a sign. Remember what I said? Signs are not given to win people to the Lord. And signs don't keep the body of Christ. Jesus keeps the body of Christ. Stay with me. He says this to the scribes and the Pharisees. Were they supposed to be followers of the Lord? Yeah. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, "Teacher, we want you to show us a sign." And he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah." Stay with me. Jonah's type and shadow of Jesus. "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Greater than Jonah is here." And then he goes on, "Greater than Solomon is here." In other words, the world and the counterfeit want signs. Signs are not given to get somebody to the Lord. So if you think, if I only had some signs and wonders happen in my life, people want my Jesus. No, I'm going to tell you how they're going to want your Jesus. And it's not by signs and wonders. Stay with me. Matthew chapter 16. Now that was scribes and Pharisees, two of the top religious groups. Now chapter 16, same book. Jesus again addresses, starting with verse 1. My caption says, "Now we got the Pharisees and the Sadducees." And of course, Sadducees don't believe in eternal life, and that's why they're sad, you see. But But you understand, Jesus is using these scriptures to straighten out a religious head that is being used to mislead. He called them even false prophets. I'm telling you, there is right now, if the enemy could get us to listen to those that do not have good fruit in their life, but they're going to tell you what you want to hear, so you follow after them, don't follow them.
Amen.
A tree that is good will produce good fruit,
yes.
And a bad tree won't. And he calls them again a wicked and adulterous generation. They are seeking a sign. Look with me. Go back to Matthew chapter 12. Or excuse me, Matthew chapter 7. And I'm looking at verse 15 again, where we know them by their fruit. I want you to jump down. He's already identified them as false what? Prophets. And you can tell because they can say what they want, but you see the fruit. He goes on to say this about them, because it's a continuation. Verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. If they're doing the will of my Father, they're doing the word, and they're going to have fruit that's going to be good. A house divided can't stand, but a house united on the things of God is going to have good fruit. Many of you are going to say in that day, and false prophets we're addressing here, many are going to say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? And have we not done wonders in your name? And he's going to declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me because you practice lawlessness. Right now, I need you to be on the same page. This was not addressed to the body of Christ. This was not addressed to believers. This was addressed to leaders that tell you that you should follow them, but they do not have the fruit in their lives. And many are saying, I believe in Jesus. Many are saying, I'm praying and all that, but inside they're ravenous wolves. And I'm telling you, we've got to be sensitive. We will know them by their fruit. Let me get to the part of signs and wonders. Signs and wonders are for believers. Now listen, I'm going to tell you right now. We are not to follow signs and wonders. Signs and wonders follow believers. If we are a believer, we will have signs and wonders follow us, but we're not seeking signs and wonders. That's an adulterous generation that's after the signs and wonders, but not the good fruit. So look at with me. If you would, Mark, now I'm going to go to New Covenant. Someone says, I thought the New Covenant started in Acts. The New Covenant started when Jesus was raised from the dead. And he is now exhorting, because the qualifier to become a Christian is you got to believe God died for you and that he rose from the dead. And this has taken place. And we're looking at Mark 16. And I'm looking in Matthew, but I'm going to get to Mark. Mark 16, last book. Mine says there's a great commission. This was not given to the false prophets. They're still seeking a sign. This was given to believers. I'm going to pick it up at verse 16. He who believes. How many believers I got here today? You're believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And is baptized will be saved. Now, look at me, church. Some people get messed up thinking, baptized. We got to quickly get them in the pool and baptize. Do you know that Hebrews 11 says that there are many baptisms? 1 Corinthians 12, 13 says, when you make Jesus Christ, you're baptized by the blood into the body of Christ. This is the baptism we're referring to. Those that believe are baptized by the blood into the body of Christ. We won't go into the baptism teachings. Let's stay with me. He who does not believe is condemned. These signs will follow them that believe. I always tell people that, well, I don't speak in tongues and I don't pray for the sick. Well, it's okay. It's only for believers. These signs follow believers.
Good, Pastor.
I'm not following signs. Signs follow me. I am a child of God. I'm going to continue as a disciple of His. And the Bible says, these signs follow believers. They will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will take up the enemy or serpents. They can drink anything deadly. It will not harm them. They can lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. These are signs that follow believers. These are not false prophets. And so he goes on and finishes up the verse. And they went out and shared everywhere. And the Lord was working with them. Now remember, they're already believers because Jesus has already resurrected. Yeah, there's going to come a day of Pentecost. They're going to 120 are going to gather. But these were sent out. And they went out and they preached. Yours may say shared everywhere. And the Lord was working with them, confirming the word with accompanying what?
Signs.
Folks, signs and wonders are not to get us to Christ. Signs and wonders follow the believers of Christ and are used powerfully to enable us to be all God's called us to be.
Amen.
Let me give you an illustration, a little bit different than the baseball one. In my era, the Vietnam era, some were drafted. I happened to sign up, went to basic training, and was trained up. They gave me a uniform. I was an American soldier. Now, if I'd have went out from there, battlefield, just as an American soldier and got killed, I would die as a what? American soldier. But they taught me how to operate and clean and function an M16. So that when I'm out there, I would have a weapon that could be used to defeat the enemy. I was not forced. There were conscientious objectors. I was not forced. But the weapons of speaking in tongues, laying hands on the sick, casting out devils are just tools to make our job more effective.
Amen.
But if I died not using any of those, I'm still going to heaven. And I might even get there quicker because I'm not fighting with all the tools that the Lord freely gave me when I became a believer. But I'm telling you, the more I understand speaking in tongues, the more I understand laying hands on the sick, the more I understand casting out devils, the more I step out with my weaponries, and many times the Lord confirms it with signs and wonders following. And the reason why some says, oh, if we could just be powerful like that man or woman of God, what I'm saying is you all got the tools within you to be powerful like whoever you said is that man of God or woman of God, if you would exercise the equipment that God has freely given you. And nobody in the church can make you pray in tongues or make you lay hands on the sick or make you cast out devils. But I'm telling you, it's made my work a whole lot easier and more fun. Because there's no weapon formed by the enemy that can prosper. And he's working overtime to get the body of Christ in fear. Oh, what happens if you get sick? We are appointed. We all got an appointment when we're going to go be with the Lord. Thank God we're going to go be with the Lord.
Amen.
We're not to operate in fear. The enemy uses that fear to make us powerless.
Right.
When all along we're carrying A-bombs of power called the Holy Ghost. And as soon as you realize that, death has no sting. We get out of this fear thing. And we step out in faith thing. And we're believing God and using the tools He's given us. You know yourself, church. Nobody forces you to pray for the sick. Nobody forces you to pray over your meals. Nobody forces you to pray for people that are hurting. Let me just say this. When we were getting hit, like my wife told you, with COVID, this church, I think I had on my list 50-some people. Every day when I called you, and you know who you are, and I was dealing with it too, I got up, did everything like it was normal, but I had some aches and pains. When I called you, and every time I called you, and I called you, tried to call you every day to see the progress, I could have said, oh, too bad, but what did I do? We prayed. We believed God. How many of you wished I didn't pray for you? Do you understand? I prayed that everybody would recover. And everybody did recover. Oh, I was praying before that. Nobody got hit with it. And we got hit, didn't question. I trust the Lord with all my heart. I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. But for whatever reason, the Lord wanted us to get the antibodies.
Amen. Yes.
And we got them.
Yep.
And I'm not listening to those that say, well, it might not last long. Not, they're going to last long because you know what? Greater is the one in here that brought. But did you enjoy? I mean, was it good that you had a pastor that prays? Every day when we put all of you up on the prayer thing and we know specifics about all of you and we go down and cover you, do you wish, oh, don't do that. Don't do that. No, you are believing with me. We're praying for Al. Wife is away and all of a sudden he's got an issue. I call him and he tells me I'm doing better. Every time you told me you're doing better, all I said, thank you, Jesus. It's not us that heals anybody. But if we never do it, how do we expect? I like what Pastor Mike used to say. Maybe you still say it. You know, I don't get everything I pray for, but everything I have, I prayed for. I don't see total healing for everybody I pray for, but everybody that gets healed normally has been prayed for. You don't determine that. That's up to the Lord. Do you understand why it's so significant to not write off? People are writing off all the time. Churches are canceling signs and wonders because they think, oh, no. And they take that in the transitional scriptures. Well, you know, those that seek a sign, you know, they're an adulterous generation. No, those are ones that are saying they're spiritual, but they're not. Do we go and try to sort people out? No, we stay free. When you know the truth makes you what? Free, and it keeps you free. And the more you realize is yours, the freer you stay. So, if we are looking for what we have, now listen, how could Jesus tell us in John 14, 12, when he's preparing the disciples to go, he said, the things I do, you're going to do. And greater than that. Did Jesus cast out any devils? Did he put hands on the sick? So if he did it, he says, we're going to do it. If we don't do it, does he love us less if we don't lay hands on the sick? Does he love us any less if we see someone that's dealing with darkness or depression and we don't bind it? Does he love us any less? Is that going to keep us out of heaven? But is that going to help people that are being oppressed? Remember what Acts 10:38 says? This is Jesus. This is a new covenant. How God the Father anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed by the what? Devil. For the Lord was working with him. If Jesus was setting the oppressed free and he said the things he'll do, will do, we're supposed to be setting the oppressed free. Because I think Jesus said that. Or Father God said that about Jesus. Also said that there would be signs following. I like what it says in Romans 8:11. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead gets to live in us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in every believer. Do we see the worth that we have now when we're carrying around the kingdom in us with the potential of healing all that were oppressed of the devil?
Amen.
I'm going to be honest with you. My role most of the time when I talk to someone that's dealing with demonic situations is empower them to go do it. I am tired of them looking to some giant. Well, if we get pastor, he'll clean my house out. No, you clean your house out. If you're a believer, go command every spirit that doesn't belong there, get out. And guess what? He'll listen because you're a believer and greater is the force in you than the force that's coming against you. Don't you dare think you got to wait for some spiritual giant when you got the giant inside you called the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And the sooner the body of Christ gets a hold of this, the sooner we're going to see the oppressed set free. And we step out of our discomfort and activate it. We're taught in the scriptures to be praisers. He inhabits our praises. Says we defeat the devil. We lock him in chains and fetters of iron. I think a lot of the body of Christ still don't believe that because they act as if they don't. And I'm not trying to be critical. I'm not trying to put someone down. But I'm telling you, there's going to come a day I believe the body of Christ is going to get so excited you won't be able to contain your feet. your hands. You're going to be so excited because you realize he's going to inhabit my praises and we're going to bind some enemy stuff. And he says, put on the garment of praise for heaviness. There's heaviness in the body of Christ. Put on the garment of praise and we're going to help set some people free, because it says we drive out the oppressing spirits. Why? Because Jesus did it, and the things he did we'll do in greater. Unless we don't use those tools. Those tools aren't for unbelievers. Those tools are for us. Understand, this shouldn't be a Pentecostal thing. This should be a God thing. Amen. Why has it got weeded out? We studied the history of the church. Why did we leave out the tools that help us keep the devil out of people's lives? It doesn't keep us out of heaven. It says the Holy Ghost will never leave us nor forsake us. You've got the power, but if you never do anything with these weapons, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. What a power source that we have within us. Here's how people come to know the Lord. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, okay? Whoever believes on him shall not perish. So the only way to Jesus, or the only way to heaven, is through Jesus. In John 12:32, it says, Jesus is saying, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, we've all, believers, been given a ministry to get people to Jesus. He didn't say you do some signs that's going to bring him. He says, lift up Jesus. It's the same thing as Jonah, only we got a greater one. It's called Jesus. Three days and nights in the belly of the whale. If he be lifted up, he'll draw all men unto him. And you know the other way the world's going to know that we're here? John 13:34-35, class. A new commandment I give you this day, that you love one another. As I have loved you, so love one another.
Yes. Amen. Come on.
By this shall all know that we're his by the love. By the signs and wonders?
No.
No, by the love we have. How are we going to win people to the Lord? We love on one another. And we lift up Jesus, not a man, not a woman, not a ministry, not a pastor, not an evangelist. We get off this high horse thing and we get down where Jesus was, with the people, raising up.
Amen.
And watching people come to Jesus. They don't want what we have if they don't see what they want that we have. And I think you summed it up good today, Carol. A little bickering and complaining and what? My gosh, we're such a blessed people. We're all under the same blood. Well, I wasn't born in a good household. Randy said, you're still worth it. And so does Jesus say that. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Go with me. Acts. A couple of scriptures and wrapping up today. Are you feeling freer? I want you to be totally free. Gosh, what an opportunity. Go to Acts chapter 10. Now we're into the new covenant, just like the end of those gospels. And this is, I'm going to pick it up at verse 44. And I got a caption, Holy Spirit falls on Gentiles. Because remember, a lot of people thought it was only for the Jews. Well, we know that God's no respecter of persons. While Peter is still speaking the words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision, which at that time most of the ones that were believers had been circumcised, okay? We know that they're getting away from that. As many as came with Peter, because he, the gift of the Holy Spirit, had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Here you go. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And Peter answered, can anyone forbid water baptism to them? In other words, believers now all of a sudden have signs following them. Now they're speaking in tongues. They're magnifying God. It's good. Go with me if you would to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, verse 1. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, passing through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. He found disciples. Everybody look at me now. If you're a disciple, you're a follower of who?
Jesus.
Does that mean you're saved?
Yeah,
okay. And he came to someone. Did you receive the Holy Ghost since you believed? And so they said, we've not so much as heard whether there's a Holy Spirit. Now, let me just stop there. Many of you, when we were doing the series, I'm telling you to be aware of the Holy Ghost, says, I never heard anything on the Holy Ghost. Isn't that sad? He's just reiterating what many people, I never even heard there is. I heard, well, a Spirit, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, but never spend any time learning the function of the Holy Spirit, the one that's with us that'll never leave us, the one that reminds us what Jesus said. We don't spend any time getting to know the one that's going to help us know Jesus. And when we know Jesus, we're made free. You see, the enemy don't want us to know the Holy Ghost because the Holy Ghost is going to remind us what Jesus said. And Jesus is taking us to freedom because when you know the truth is make you free. Can you understand how it's working now? Yeah, the enemy's got us all tied up and locked up on all kinds of things and separated by all kinds of nonsense. We have not so much as heard. Verse 3, and he said to them, into whose baptism were you? And they said, John's baptism. We know that was a water baptism for repentance of sin. He says, when they heard it, this time, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul laid hands on them. What's supposed to follow Paul when he lays hands on people? Signs and wonders. Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues, and they prophesied. Huh. Signs are following believers when they're doing what the believers are challenged to do as disciples of Jesus. Look at me, church. You're in a church we call a Pentecostal, charismatic, full gospel, what you want. Nobody in here is going to ever be forced to pray in tongues. But I'm going to tell you, it's ammunition that's powerful, and it will help you set people free. You can't figure it out with your head. No man knows or understands what he says in the spirit. You're uttering the heartbeat of God. But I'm telling you, it's a tool. Nobody's going to challenge you to cast out demonic spirits or spirits. But the Lord wants us to because people are oppressed. They can't be possessed. I don't believe for a minute the Holy Ghost will share his cavity of heartbeat with the devil. But he will oppress Christians, and we have the authority to bind his influence because God gave us the keys to the kingdom. What we bind on earth is bound in heaven. So whether or not you ever cast out devils, it's not going to get you from not going to heaven. You're not a bad person if you don't. But I'm telling you, you can't come to Shield of Faith and just want to get to heaven on your own. There are a lot of good churches out there, and you can go get a good teaching, get a good worship and that. But I'm telling you, God's trying to equip us for what's coming, and what's coming is powerful. Yeah. And one or two, it's not a one or two, it's a body ministry. He's coming back for a glorified church. That means all of us are not only equipped, but we're operating in what God has given us. You know that's bearing witness with you, isn't it? You know that's a truth, that's a freedom. That the things he did, you can do. And some of you know you haven't been doing it. And I'm only encouraging you, hoping the Holy Ghost is encouraging you to do it. You're still in chapter 19. Here you go. I'm going to pick it up now at verse 11. God worked unusual miracles by the hands of who? Does he love Paul more than he loves us? So could we not say that if we did things like Paul or Jesus did, we could have unusual miracles by our hands? Remember, miracles aren't going to win people the Lord. Lifting up Jesus and loving on one another, they're going to want what we got. So even clothing, aprons that came from Paul's body, diseases left them and evil spirits went out of them. I know some of you note that sometimes we do prayer cloths and they'll go out and people have been set free and so forth. I understand that. Your body's anointed. Elijah in the tomb was anointed and he was dead and gone. His bones were there. They threw some dead guys down. His bones were still anointed and they came to life. That's not too much for a creator. Can you imagine us that are still alive? Hear the bones rattling? All I could think of was us. We're rattling. We're coming to life. We're realizing what we have that we can use. Rattle, rattle. It's like the Ezekiel 38. It's like speak, prophesy to those dry bones. You know, if they didn't prophesy and speak to them, they probably wouldn't start to rattle. Signs followed the believers that were doing that. I get tired sometimes to tell my wife, I was sharing all the testimonies, casting devils out of people because people then put me on a pedestal. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. And you got the same powers I got. Because I don't have a strong, powerful Holy Ghost and you got a little baby. When you get saved, you get the full Holy Ghost. Stay with me. Then some of the Jewish leaders, exorcists, took it upon themselves. What did Jesus teach us? There are false prophets, false leaders. Here you go. Some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, listen, this is even clear for us. We command you to leave in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. And there were, here you go again, you can underline this is good. There were seven sons of Sceva. Sceva was a Jewish chief priest. Wow, a chief priest. That's a false prophet that didn't know Jesus. And the evil spirit says this, Jesus I know, Paul I know, who in the world are you? Stephanie I know, Brian I know, Tony I know, Dennis I know. He knows us, the devil does. But if you're not a believer, he don't know you. And he still has authority over you. What happens to them? The man in whom the evil spirit leaped on them, overpowered them, prevailed against them, and they fled out naked and wounded. These were not believers that fled out naked and wounded. Signs and wonders, laying hands on the sick, praising the Lord, should have signs following. Because the Lord continues to work with us to set the captives free. No Christian is forced to read the word. No Christian is forced to pray. No Christian is forced to do anything. The most exciting thing you can do is make Jesus Christ your Lord. But that's only the bare minimum. Going to heaven is great, but it's down here that we're setting the captives free. And this isn't a Pastor Weldon freeing. This is a Jesus freeing. And the sooner you get a hold of this, and you begin to see oppressed people that are in your life, and you start buying, and make sure they're believers, because you don't want them to jump all over them. You know, I say it like this, and I'm gonna leave you with this nugget. I always wonder, why would these demons strip these seven sons of Sceva, high priest, strip them naked and run them out? What did we just read earlier? Because Paul was a believer. They even took what off his body? Clothing. Even the clothing was anointed. What the devil thought, before they become a believer, I got to get that clothing off them. Because if they're naked, they got nothing to drive me out with. Do you see how humorous, but how powerful it is? Our clothes can even be anointed. It's because, remember, it's not Pastor Weldon's anointing. It's the anointing of the Holy Ghost that sets the captives free. And you are Americans or you are Christians, and whether or not you use your tools or not, you're still a Christian if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. You don't have to. You don't have to fulfill Psalms 149. God inhabits the praises. We bind the enemy. You don't have to dance before the Lord, even though it encourages us to. Doesn't make you any more spiritual if you do or you don't. But I'm telling you, true freedom comes on learning all the tools you can use and using them to set the captives free. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, what we want to leave from here, and those that are tuning us in, as you are confronting others this week that need to be freed, you got all the tools you need inside you.
Yes,
pastor is telling you don't have to wait for me to tell you to do stuff. In fact, I even like it better than this. You know, we're supposed to be doers of the word, not hearers. Why don't we just be who we're created to be? Just be the mighty man, the mighty woman of God. You don't have to wait for any giant because the giant lives inside you. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand to our feet. Father God, we do lift up the name of Jesus today, and we do thank you that greater are you that live inside believers than the force of hell that would come against us. And I declare off those that are listening and those that are here today, I release in the name of Jesus freedom, total freedom to be free and free indeed In Jesus' name, I pray, Holy Ghost, that you will become so real in the lives of those that are believers that they will begin to step out and use those very tools that you've given them freely. And Father, if there's anyone tuning in today that has not made you, Jesus, Lord of their life, these tools only work for believers. You don't have to be a member of Shield of Faith or a member of a church. You need to be a member of Jesus Christ. And you acknowledge him as your Lord and ask him to forgive you from your past. It says, boom, you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. And you immediately are given a ministry of reconciling others to him. Father God, I thank you for the freedom that's in this room today. And I thank you, Lord, that it's going to be exercised as we go forth. And we give you all the praise and all the glory, and all of us in agreement said, amen. Love on one another, fellow warriors. Yeah.